Today we're going to address a topic that probably many of us may not want to admit that we are affected by it. It is a topic that all too often many of us find ourselves afflicted. It's probably a very good word for this particular topic that we're going to look at. It can be very costly in time, in energy, yes, and even in money. There are even examples where it has cost some people even their very lives. This is something that some only do occasionally, while others may do it on a regular, habitual, daily habit. So what about you and what about me? Is this something that we do only on an occasional basis, or on the other hand, is this something that we do on a matter of daily personal habit? Brother, whichever the case may be, we have to come to the realization that this particular topic is something that each one of us must look at ourselves and examine ourselves and find out, yes, I am bothered by it, and then we need to start working on it to get this out of our lives. This is something that is very, very important, and it is also something that we can find in the pages of the Bible where there is genuine relief available for us. So what is this big topic? Well, it has many different names. One of those names is avoidance. But the really ugly name is procrastination. Let me spell that. PROCRASTINATION. Procrastination. As I said, it's a really ugly word. Technically, the word refers to the avoidance of a specific task or work which needs to be done. This technical explanation does not begin, however, to capture the real emotional triggers that comes up in our lives, even when we just simply hear the word, especially when we find ourselves in situations where we have been avoiding and avoiding and avoiding, putting off things that we know that I am supposed to get done. You can put your name there, you know, that we are supposed to be getting done, but we find ourselves avoiding it. So the word comes up and it invokes in us all kinds of emotional triggers when we simply even hear the word. Probably for most of us, the word procrastination reminds us of some past experiences which we have felt guilty about, or lazy, or inadequate, or anxious, or even stupid, or some combination of these words. You can put your own words. I'm using my words. Possibly, it might even imply some value judgment. I mean, we may come to the place that we have this value judgment on ourselves when we're reminded of a topic like this, and the value may be something like, if you procrastinate, you are bad, and as such, you lack worth as a person. Well, the act of procrastination is bad. But it does not mean that if we procrastinate, we no longer have worth of a person. It means we have a fault, a weakness, something to work on, something to take to God and help, you know, and get the help from God, that relief, I said, that is there. It does mean that we need to recognize it as a problem and we need to work on eliminating the problem from our lives. So today, what I'd like for us to do is take a closer look at this subject of procrastination or avoidance. I simply have entitled it procrastination. I decided to use the really ugly word, not a less ugly word of avoidance, but procrastination. And let's see what, if we can, if there is anything that we can find out of the pages of the Bible to get rid of it out of our lives. Webster defines procrastination as to put off intentionally and habitually, to postpone, to put off reprehensibly the doing of something that should be done. You just read the word and you go, that sounds really bad. Now, whether we need a definition or not, sometimes it does help us to have a definition, because in one sense it helps us to nail down the issue in a more of a concrete way. Because you see, when we procrastinate in one way or another, we are deliberately saying something like later, but maybe thinking never. Oh, I'll do this later, but all the time knowing we really don't intend to get around to it. For me, it seems to be more of the mañana syndrome of someday I've got to get organized. Someday I've got to do that, or someday I've got to do this other thing, which really being interpreted is, who cares if it ever gets done? People who procrastinate have no definite plans to accomplish the objective. Well, I'm going to do it next week. That's really not a plan. They may have good intentions, but we have also probably all heard the saying about all roads leading to the grave, I cleaned it up a little, are paved with good intentions. The job just does not get done. It simply ends up lost in the land of maybe. What about you? What about me? How big is the case of procrastination in our lives? If you don't have it, take a nap. Thank God that you don't have the problem. Thank God that you're not bothered by it. No, don't take a nap. Stay awake. Take notes so you can help others. Do we really want to have help and relief? And the answer is of course we do. Of course we do. None of us really wants to postpone, to really put off those things that need to be done in our lives, do we? Especially those things that pertain to God and seeking to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, to live the godly way of life. None of us really want to do that. We all need to be reassured there is help. There is godly relief. And that's the good news. The answers to find out how help in this problem of procrastination is found in the pages of God's Word, the Bible. So let's go there. Let's go to the Word of God and let's see what God has to say about this. Let's expose it for what it is. And if you're thinking that I'm talking about any one of you, I'm not. As much as anything, I'm talking about myself. And if you were up here delivering the sermon, you may make the same statement. Well, I'm really just talking about myself. Because we can probably all say that in one sense or the other. So I'm taking this personally, and I want to learn from this just like all of you do. So let's go to the Bible. King Solomon helps us to see some things about this problem. He assures us that all of us have this mental equipment that is needed to get the job done. The job done meaning to get away from procrastination and to do whatever it is that has been set before us. So let's go to the book of Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 1. Proverbs 16 and verse 1. The plans of the heart belong to man, But the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. This ability, I'm using that word, this ability to make and to carry out a plan is unique to mankind. The modern language Bible uses the words orderly thinking for the word plan. The plans of the heart belong to men. This translation says the orderly thinking of the heart belong to man. This ability to think in an orderly way is ours and ours alone. Now, I'm not excluding the angels, and I'm certainly not excluding, you know, God and, you know, and the heavenly hosts and that kind of thing. But we as human beings, we have a built-in capacity to think things through, to plan things out. God gave that to us. This is what God is telling us in this verse. I mean, you see, dogs don't. Horses can't, and cats won't. But you and I can. And you and I should. Another thing from King Solomon is that he declares that we can also have the desire to get the thing done. This is in chapter 16 and verse 3. 16 verse 3. Commit your works to the Lord and your plans will be established. Commit your works to the Lord. Now, what is this phrase telling us? What is this actually saying to us? Is it saying go out and be a minister? Go out and preach the gospel of God's kingdom? No, that's not what it says. Now, maybe one day you can do those things, but this is not what the verse is saying. So what is it saying? It is saying we are to be doing those things that we can do, but doing them God's way. Not doing them our way, but doing them God's way. Doing them in a lawful manner. What we do, we are to be doing it diligently. If you reread the verse, that's what we will see. Then, when we are doing those things this way, the godly way, in a lawful manner, then, as it says, and your plans will be established. So what is this telling us? This is telling us that we even have divine assistance available to us. There's godly help. God's help is there for us. But please do not make the assumption or do not kid ourselves. This is not something that is absolutely automatic, because it is not automatic just because we're human and godly help and deliverance is there. Please understand, a desire does not guarantee accomplishment. Let me repeat that. A desire does not guarantee accomplishment. Let's go to Proverbs 13 and verse 4. 13 and verse 4. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the soul of the diligent is made fat. Now, the New International Version says, but the soul of the diligent are fully satisfied. Now, I want to be fully satisfied, and I think you want to be fully satisfied in the things that we set our hands to do. So what we see here is that there is this fight going on. We have within each of us two mighty foes working against, opposing each other, and then we're drawn to one side or the other. What we see is sluggard on one hand, and then we see diligence on the other hand, and it's like a boxing match or a wrestling match, sluggard versus diligence. And what we see from these verses that we've read so far on this topic, both have desires. Both have desires. A desire does not guarantee accomplishment. Even sluggard, it says, craves. But what does he accomplish? Nothing. That's why he's the sluggard. That's why he's called the sluggard. He would be called something else if he was doing, if he was accomplishing. But the reason he's called sluggard is because he's not accomplishing. He doesn't follow through. He postpones. His motto might be something like, maybe someday. But on the other hand, we as the people of God also have available to us diligence. Go with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21 and verse 5. It says, the plans of the diligent lead surely to adventure or advantage. In other words, to profit. But everyone who is hasty comes surely to poverty. Proverbs 13 and verse 4, we read it. The soul of the sluggard craves and gets nothing. Remember, accomplishes nothing. They crave, they desire, but they don't get anything because they don't accomplish. But the soul of the diligent is fully satisfied. So that's what we're seeing here in this particular verse here in Proverbs chapter 21. We are seeing that the sluggard or the procrastinator craves, however, accomplishes nothing and does not follow through, but instead postpones and puts it off and has a motto, maybe, as I said, something like, maybe someday. While, on the other hand, diligent makes plans that will lead to advantage or to profit. We'll get it done. And it is made fat or it is fully satisfied. So with this in mind, go back with me to Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 3. Proverbs 16 and verse 3. Commit your works to the Lord and your plans will be established. So let me ask this question here. Why then don't we always overrule procrastination or the sluggard and give way to diligence? Why don't we? Why do we sometimes yield ourselves over to procrastination? Well, let me give just real simply here some possible reasons why. One is maybe we set unrealistic or unwise goals or plans. In other words, they're unrealistic, they're unwise, and you're really not going to get them accomplished because they're beyond your ability or whatever to be able to do so. And so you don't get them done. And are we still the sluggard or the procrastinator? Or are we the diligent in that case? We're still the procrastinator because you still don't get it done. Another reason may be because we attempt to do something that was not God's will. You think God's help is going to be there to help us to do things that are not His will? I don't think so. And I don't think you think He will either. Or we allow procrastination or sluggard to win when he arm wrestles with diligence. In other words, we give in to one or the other. You may be able to come up with some other possible reasons why we would not follow through. And we wouldn't always do it one way, but we sometimes give in to being the procrastinator. In other words, we simply give in. That's really the bottom line to it. We give in. Does that mean all is lost? Does that mean there is no way out? If we decide to simply stay there, then maybe so. Because if you give in, and that's where we stay, is there any way out? I've tried to think it through, and I can't think of how we would not simply stay there. And that would be all is lost in that sense if we simply stayed there. But remember, I stated earlier that God offers us a way out. You remember that? God offers reassurance. God offers relief. Remember that I also stated that the Bible offers the answers. So if we procrastinate, if we postpone, or if we put off those things that we need to be doing, what are we told to do? It may surprise some, but King Solomon says that we need to take a trip outside. That we need to go outside, we need to take a look at the anthill. In fact, God commands that we do just that. He says, go to the ant. Who? You sluggard. You procrastinator. So let's do just that. I don't mean let's get up and go outside, but let's look at the verses of where he's talking about this. We'll go to Proverbs chapter 6. In Proverbs chapter 6, in verse 6, it starts, it says, go to the ant, O sluggard, are you procrastinator? Observe her ways and be wise, which, having no chief, officer, or ruler, prepares her food in the summer and gathers her provision in the harvest. How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? In other words, from your not getting done what it is that you need to get done. I don't know about you, but I find it even a little bit humiliating to stand, 6'3" and being told to go out and stand down, to look at this, the ways of an ant, that we're to bend down, take a look at the ant. I didn't say that I thought it was wrong. I said I think it's a little bit humiliating that I find myself having some of these issues and this is what I'm told to do. And so, what lessons that we find here from these tiny little creatures that God has created teach us a great deal about this topic of procrastination, if we will only learn from them. These tiny little role models of God have some very valuable messages for the procrastinator. Let me point out what I see from these verses that we read, four obvious lessons that we can learn from just these verses that I've read from this tiny little ant. One of the lessons is they don't need a supervisor over them. Now, what does that tell us? They're self-starters. They can get the job done. A second lesson we see is they get the essentials done first. Another one is they work ahead of time so they can relax later. Then a fourth way that seems to be a very obvious lesson from these particular verses that we're reading is they do it all without fanfare or applaud. There's no accolades. They do it because it's their task to do. So let me ask, what happens if we fail to follow the ants' examples? Well, let me give you three lessons that I learned from these verses. One is, we continue to be a procrastinator. And reading from another translation, the second one is, we begin to resemble a vagabond, which is the phrase that's used in another translation. And the third one is, we ultimately become totally dependent on others. Because we're not self-starters. We can't follow through. Somebody else has to direct us in pretty much in everything we do. Now, as a result of this, we miss out on one of life's most delightful rewards. Solomon tells us this over in Proverbs 13. So go with me to Proverbs 13 and verse 12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life. And how true that statement is. And then drop down to verse 19 in just the A part of the verse, and it says, a desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. So we see our heart from this, the wisdom that God gave to Solomon, we read here and we see that our hearts get sick when we keep putting our hopes on hold. And we also see that it states in verse 19, a desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. And what is it that is sweet to the soul? The doing it. The doing it is. The accomplishment is. The not putting off the thing that needs to be done is. And the not postponing what needs to be done, but it is the rather doing it. That is sweet. Now, there have been times whenever I've had to do a job, when I needed to get a job done, and I kept putting it off and putting it off, putting it off. Of course, and I always had real good reasons, not excuses, but I had reasons, right? Yeah, right. Uh-huh. And then when you finally get around to doing it, you go, you know, that wasn't as hard as I thought. That really makes you feel stupid. And then another thing is, and you go, you know, that feels really good. Well, that's what this is telling us. This is what it is telling us. Being a procrastinator, therefore, robs us of rewards that are available to us. Getting the job done, God says, is sweet. So in a lot of ways, that is a reward. Getting it done is a sweet reward. And as King Solomon states, completing the desire, getting the job done, is a tree of life. It is a sweet reward to the person. Some of the accomplishments that you might be facing that you would like to get done, well, I mean, you know, things such as, and here are some, such as getting that project completed at home that has needed to be done for weeks, or maybe months, or maybe years. Getting the garage cleaned out. Taking that course that you've needed to take for your job. Well, I'd like to, but... Or going back to school to complete your degree. Writing that letter to family and friends back home. Finishing that article you started way back when. And on and on and on it goes. And I think you get the point. And for emphasis, the point is accomplishing the needed job or task is a reward to the person who is a doer. Perhaps it can even be a reward to our mates or to our other family members or to one another or whatever the case may be, that maybe others have been waiting for this task to get completed. But then again, we may ask, does this have anything to do with my spiritual life? Well, I think all of us already know the answer. But let's take a look in the Bible and let's see what it tells us, what it really says, and so we can really nail down the answer to this question. Does it have anything to do with our spiritual life, yes or no? First of all, let's go to the book of James, chapter 1. Most of you already know where I'm going. James, chapter 1, be doers and not hearers only. Now, is a procrastinator a doer or a hearer only? Well, I think we already know the answer. James 1 and verse 22. James 1, 22. But be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Verse 25, But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man should be blessed in his deed or in his doing. So which one is blessed? The one who accomplishes or the one who procrastinates? Real simple. Next, let's go to Luke chapter 9. Luke 9, in this passage of scriptures, it tells us, don't look back, don't postpone, or don't delay what needs to be done. Luke chapter 9 and verse 59. Luke 9, 59. And he said unto another, Jesus speaking, and says, follow me. But the one he's speaking to, but he said, Lord, allow me first to go and bury my father. Now, is there anything wrong in burying a family member? Of course not. That is not what Jesus is saying. And I'm not taking the time to explain all of this, but he has a purpose here in explaining it and saying it in this way. And it fits right in with this topic we're looking at. Verse 60, Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go you and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. It might be prayer. It might be Bible study. It might be meditation. It might be fasting. It might be paying tithes. It might be working on a particular problem that we have. It might be a whole lot of things, but we can put in those things that fit us, and we need to. These verses are warnings. These warnings are for all of us who don't. Don't procrastinate or put off what it is that needs to be done. Go to the tiny ant. As I called them earlier, role models for God, for procrastinators to learn from. He didn't tell the wise man, go and learn from the ant. He didn't tell the one who's accomplishing, go to the ant. He said, the procrastinator, go and learn from the ant. They do first things first. They relax later. Now go with me to another passage. This was in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25, several things in there. The one I want to focus on is the 10 virgins, 5 wise and 5 foolish. They postponed. They put off. They were not doers. Matthew 25 and verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps but took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried or waited, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom comes. Go you out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go you rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. Listen to this. But he answered and said, truly I say unto you, I don't know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man comes. to those who were prepared, got done the first things first, they were able to go in. And those who did not were not. And then he says, I don't know you. And we can see what happened to the spiritual procrastinators. The principle is that we're seeing is they did not enter into the kingdom of God. But what about us? Are we spiritual procrastinators? Do we postpone those things we need to be doing? We are told we do not have to be procrastinators. It's bad enough to procrastinate about physical things, and we can kind of, you know, even get giddy about it, and we can compare and we can say, yeah, well, I got this and I got that to do and all of those things. I mean, that's one thing. And that's a principle that we need to learn. But the real thing is being a spiritual procrastinator. And one may just simply reflect the other. And brethren, the help that we need to be doers and not hearers only is available to us. The Apostle Paul tells us that we have what is necessary to accomplish the task. He tells us we can do it. He's telling us we don't have to put it off and procrastinate. Go with me to the book of Philippians chapter 4. Philippians 4 and verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the answer. I can accomplish what I need to accomplish. That is my responsibility. That is my job. That what is my task, what has been given to me. And I'm referring here in a spiritual sense, but the principle also can apply in a physical in a lot of this. But I can accomplish those things through Christ who strengthens me. If we want to take advantage of the help, the spiritual help that is there, it is there because our Messiah, living his life in us, Galatians 2:20, I live, yet not I, but Jesus Christ living in me. He's the one who really does it. I mean, I used the term and I said, well, there's help available for us, like it implies that we can do it. Well, we are involved in it, but we're not the ones who really, really ultimately doing it. It's really as Jesus Christ in us, because he's the one who's doing it. Can he do it? Oh, absolutely. He was never a procrastinator. He never put off what it was that he needed to do. And he is there for each of us so we too can be doers. The way we become procrastinators is not allowing Jesus Christ to do it in us. Matthew 24. Matthew 24 and verse 13. But he who endures or continues or sustains or holds out against, or undergoes, or lasts, or persists, or remains. Those are different terminologies. Those are different words that are used in various translations. But he who endures to the end, the same will be saved. Now what I notice from this, none of these sounds like a procrastinator. Endures, continues, sustains, holds out against, undergoes, lasts, persists, or remains. None of those sounds like procrastinators to me. None of these sounds like someone who puts off doing those things that he needs to be doing. Procrastination is something most of us may not want to admit if we have it whether it be big or small, in our lives. But all too often, we are all affected by it in some way or another. Whether we really want to or not, it seems all of us at one time or another procrastinate. Procrastination can be very costly in time, in energy, and even in money. And yes, I said earlier, there are also examples where it has cost some their very lives. And something very, very important about this subject of procrastination is this. I mean, when you say it all, when you get down to it, in the bottom line, in the final analysis of it, this is a point that is very important. It is up to us to take that first step toward being a doer. A lot of things in our lives as a Christian, the first step started with God. This first step out of being a procrastinator starts with us. We already can be out of it because God has already sent Jesus Christ. I'm making the assumption from the point of view that Jesus Christ is living his life in us. Can we still be procrastinators? Absolutely. But we can take that first step out of that. And it is up to us to endure and to continue to do. It is up to us to live, to actively be pursuing the word of truth, the word of God, Jesus Christ in our lives. Because that's the real answer. And it is up to us. And I ask that God would bless each one of us to be doers and no longer procrastinators. That we will become doers and not hearers only. I want to read the Aaronic blessing with you at this time. Speaking to Aaron and to his sons, saying, on this wise you shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them. God bless each one of you as doers and not hearers only, and allowing Jesus Christ to live his life in each one of us to be actively involved, that we will become what it is God the Father in Jesus Christ desires for all of us. God bless you all.